Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. My name is Mike Johnson. To my left is Squidbilly Bo Morgan. To my right is Allie Mack. And dead in front of me, right on the other side of the glass, is Dylan Matthews. Playing all the tunes and coming off a Atlanta United victory last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. At 929 Morning Shift, if you would like us to read your tweets and get your responses on the air. Talked about me taking my son for the first time ever, father-son outing, to a sporting event last night, the Atlanta United game. Special memory for us. Want to hear from you about some special memories you have taking your kid to a sporting event. Maybe it's the first time, maybe it's just a big one, and you remember that. Also, conversation today about the SEC Big Ten crossover that will be had. If you want to weigh in on that, 404-726-0929.
Yeah, speaking of dads, Sports Radio 92.9 of the Game's third annual Father's Day dinner is coming.
This Michael, be my first one. I can't Allie. Wait.
Yeah, I know.
My first one, too.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, I'm a grizzled veteran. It'll be my third. You want to join us, all of us, the Morning Shift, and some of your favorite 92.9 of the Game celebrities hosts. We're not celebrities. It'll be Friday, June 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar Perimeter. As we celebrate Father's Day with you, go to 92.9thegame.com. Click the contest page and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with the 92.9 The Game staff. Or if you want to tell us why you want to bring your grandfather, your kid, your coach, anyone that was important in your life, got a dad-like figure, or you were a father-like figure too, it's all presented to you by my friends at Atlanta Motor Speedway, where NASCAR returns June 28th for the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. And brought to you by the Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Eat, drink, good times. Make sure you enter now for your chance to win at 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, speaking of hanging out
Thank
with
you,
us,
Papa Squid.
Yeah, thinking out,
Big
hanging
Papa
out with
Squid
us,
to you,
be,
Big Papa Squid.
That's right. We'll be in the house at Land Motor Speedway for that night race on that Saturday night
Who?
Race.
Us?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I know.
I got to call Tyler.
About it. Allie's even coming. She's excited.
I'm going to be out
but
there.
But she was at the last one. I don't even know what I'm talking
I was
about.
At the last
it's
one.
It's not news
yeah,
to her.
She actually was... she joined us when we did our show the on the top of the roof.
So much fun.
I got to talk to Tyler, and I got to get with Brandon Hutchinson, who's the, I call him the El Presidente there. He runs the place.
Yeah.
And Tyler and Dustin, and say, hey, guys, I'm going to need my rigs set up. make sure you have that generator again, this time for air
make
conditioner.
Make sure you drop the 92.9 celebrity quote on him again like you just did a minute ago.
Yeah,
you pulled it back.
I pulled that back.
Yeah. Before we get to the phone lines, do you guys have a sporting event memory?
Absolutely. Yeah. You grow up with your parents taking you to games.
Yeah.
But I had the reverse situation a few years ago, and I did an entire season's worth of commercials, a campaign for the Braves, just to get these tickets for me and my dad.
Nice.
At Turner Field, the last season, we sat behind home plate. So we were in, it was the SunTrust Club at the time, but, you know, valet parking.
Yeah.
There's a buffet going on. And we're sitting there, and my dad turned into a kid right in front of my eyes because Ron Washington is walking by to go to third base. And he's like, hi!
Yeah.
He's like waving at the players.
Wow.
Absolutely adorable.
That's priceless, man. I did the same thing with my dad. I took my dad to Chipper's last game, which was the wild card game, the one game playoff against St. Louis, which trash was thrown on the field that day from left field. But I bought him tickets to that. That was one of our core memories as well.
Yeah, I remember it was – I'm pretty sure the Falcons got in the playoffs on this game, but it was like 95, Georgia Dome, December 24th. Me and my dad went. Bobby Hebert comes in for – I'm a huge Bobby Hebert fan. And I was a huge Bobby Hebert fan because he played here. And obviously he's Saints legend as well, unfortunately. But he comes in for injured Jeff George. And the Falcons going to win the game 28-27. Like, we're at the Dome. I remember, like, high-fiving with, like, people. And I'm, like, 12 years old at that point.
Yeah.
And me and my dad got to take me to one or two games at the Dome a year because his boss had season tickets. And his boss would be like, hey, I'm out. We're out of town. Or we're doing this. Yep. You want to take You want to take squid?
Yeah.
And I wasn't even squid then, but, you know, still call me that.
Little squid.
Yeah, so that game always stood out as one of the biggest memories that we went to.
Yeah, I think
event.
I was, my first sporting event, I was 7. My parents took me to Fulton County Stadium to see Cubs Braves.
Nice.
It was like, might have been like 93, might have been old. And walking in, that first feeling when you see that field, you know, of course, we were, you know, not extremely well off, so we're like an upper deck. But mm-hmm. I walked in and saw that field lit up, dude. Oh, man, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was on top of the world.
Like, no way. It's real.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's welcome in. We got full phone lines. Let's welcome in. Let's go straight to Cody in Stockbridge. Cody, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? So I unfortunately haven't been able to take my kids to any games yet because they're so little. But in 2012, I was able to take my dad to the divisional series game against the Seattle Seahawks. And we know how we were up big in that game, and they came stomping back. And then when Tony G made that catch, I looked at my dad and I said, you know, we're going to kick the field goal and win it. And then they called the timeout. Matt Bryant missed the field goal, and everybody was all on pins and needles. And then, of course, we kick it, and the Georgia Dome goes from 0 to 100 real quick. And we were sitting up in the upper deck, so it was echoing and just that moment of hugging and just like thinking, oh, my gosh, we're actually going to the NFC title game. It was just a really cool situation to be a part of.
Nice.
That's
nice work.
Awesome.
You know what's funny is his view is completely different on mine. <'Cause> I was the tight end on that field goal unit, and when Matt hit that field goal, I remember trying to like, I'm thinking I'm going to like kind of like jump chest bump with the pile, and I almost jumped over Matt Bryant's head, like literally – you know, tall of a dude, and like my belly / sternum landed on top of his helmet. And I was like, oh, I'm going to the top. Here I go. Nope. Fell back to the earth, though.
Yeah, it was the Seahawks game, right? It was my first season in the booth. You know, the other years I'd been, you know, pre and post. And, you know, Arch drops a, why do we live this way? and I just
we
remember,
don't know,
like,
Arch.
I'm like, because Arch's buddy Griff was in town that weekend.
Yeah.
And we hung out with him like all weekend, and then that was that Sunday game, if I'm not mistaken. We had a blast, man.
Let's go ahead and try to get a couple more of these in. Let's go to Dan and McDonough. Dan and McDonough, what's going on, man? You're on the morning shift.
Hey, how you doing?
Living the dream.
First time caller, and I'm ready to declare allegiance to Mike's Mafia.
Oh, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
First time, last time.
What's going on, man?
So just the greatest sporting event ever. I was with my dad at the 1992 NLCS Game 7 when Sid Bream slid across the plate.
Dude.
We were 15 rows up from home plate, and when I tell you the way that stadium erupted and just the roar and the joy and the goosebumps and the tears.
I got them right now.
It was just amazing.
Yeah. Hey, how old were you?
I was 32, and my dad's, you know, 18 years older than me, and we've had season tickets to the Falcons together. We were at the 72 Major League All-Star game in Atlanta. We've had a lot of great experiences, but Sid Bream sliding across the plate and being right there on top of it was just incredible. We've got that ticket hanging framed on the wall.
Oh, I'm sure.
I love it, Dan. Thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you for the allegiance, my friend. It's good to hear from the Mafia every now and then. You know what I mean? I got
chill bumps. That's when you hear from him every now and then.
I got chill bumps that when he was telling that. I mean, that's a crazy one. That's a good one. Let's go ahead and head out to John and LaGrange. John LaGrange, what's going on, buddy?
Mike, you know where I stand.
Hey, that's exactly right, man. Let's go.
Mike Mafia. That doesn't even need to be said.
Yes, sir.
But 13 years ago, my father was having pre-dementia. He's been gone 13 years. And he was in Texas. We were living in Arkansas. And by the way, with the Big Ten SEC, if we're having to play somebody, I want, like, I don't know, Purdue or somebody like that, because I'm a Razorback fan. So I don't want to get embarrassed. But anyway, got him up and my wife at the time, we got him up from Texas, and the coach that was coaching my son, he said, hey, it's going to be a special day. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's Saturday morning, and everybody's out watching 12-year-olds play. But anyway, he made a point for my son. He played quarterback. I didn't put him on there. He put him on there. But anyway, you ran for two, threw for one, and after the game, my dad said, greatest football game I ever saw.
Amazing.
So, anyway, I got to go.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call.
What
man.
A moment.
Yeah, that's great. That's what it's all about right there, man. That's why you asked the question, honestly. And hopefully, I'm sure there's plenty more, but that man, that's a special moment right there. Shout out to John and his dad, man. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Marine Tim out in Smyrna. Marine Tim, good morning. You're on the morning shift, buddy.
How are you doing, sir?
Living the dream, one day at a time.
My big memory of taking both my kids to what was the clinching game for the 14th in a row division title for the Braves.
Yeah. What year would that have been?
Was that against the Mets, Tim?
Yeah, I believe it was against the Mets.
Yeah, that was like a Friday night, I think.
I'm telling you, both.
Yeah, it was a Friday night, and I got a chance to take both my kids, and my daughter was maybe 6 or 7, and my son's 5 and a half years older than that.
That's incredible.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff. And what an incredible memory. From you, man.
Like final facts over there.
It was like, you ever see those show specials, like, you know, on Oprah, where they have the psychic and she closed her eyes and, you know, kind of pinches the side of her head and she's like, oh, I'm envisioning, it started with a P, was her name Pam? You know, that's what Bo just did. He just rubbed his temples and he's like, it was a Friday against the Mets. It was an overcast sky.
We should put you up against Grant on
traffic
some,
was crazy.
Dates and times with
like,
Braves.
What? Well, what just happened?
I'm trying to remember because I remember watching a couple of those late division titles were literally up against it. Mm. And I mean they were very much late in the season and they were in some battles. I'm trying to remember which one that was, but there was one that I remember that was on a Friday night like that against the Mets. So yeah. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that was it. I can't remember.
Bo's got the memory of an elephant.
Yeah. I just got a thumbs up from my father, so evidently he's listening to the show today. Shout out to him. He remembers all the games that I'm talking about. It's good stuff, man. Appreciate the phone calls. If we didn't get to you, apologize. If we got you on the Twitter, we'll try to get to those on the other side of the break because we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. We also got a Life is Squid.
It's the return.
Of the Mac.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No. One of the greatest things ever.
Oh, wow.
And it involves my meat. Oh. Next morning, it's just Sports Radio 929 The Game and...
Pause. Yep.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is 8:24 here on the morning shift. My name is Mike. That's Allie. That's Bo. That's Dylan. Having a lot of fun this morning. Hopefully you guys are rocking the caffeine or whatever else you need on this foggy Thursday morning. Been a fun show so far. Appreciate everybody weighing in during the wake-up call, sharing memories with their dad. And I was talking about how last night took my son to the Atlanta United game. Shout out for them getting the dub in attendance. We did not get a chance to see the Schlees goal or the TRA goal in stoppage time, but nonetheless, they did come away with a victory. Got a couple people weighing in on the socials, Allie.
We do. Mr. Yo tweeted that in 1980, his dad took him to see the San Diego Chargers versus the Oakland Raiders at Jack Murphy Stadium. He also added that there are no cell phones at that time, so he tweeted out a video of he and his...
Just got a sketch, like a courtroom sketch.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's a video at an Atlanta Falcons game at the Benz, Olivia's first Atlanta Falcons game.
Oh, nice.
So, amazing. Nice, and then Christopher Belcher, and feel free to tweet at 929 Morning Shift so I don't have to be a creep on Mike's Twitter and Bo's Twitter. But he tweeted that he was with his dad and brothers at the Mike Vick return from the broken leg game against Carolina when he won the game in overtime.
Wow.
Poor memory there.
I remember watching that game on TV.
So what was the weather that day, Bo?
It was probably a little bit chilly. I remember watching that game at my buddy's house. That was cool. Because you know Vic comes out and places goes crazy. Those early Mike Vic days was pretty electric in the dome. It was pretty electric, and then it just and I think the biggest problem and I'm this is quick The biggest problem I have with the misremembrance of the Mike Vick era in Atlanta was how it was so exciting when they traded for him. Didn't start almost the entire, I think he started like maybe two games or just maybe just one game his rookie year. And then '02, '03, '04, it was wild. And in 05 it was like and 06 was and that, you know, it was quick rise and then as quick as a decline and it was, but when the pops, when they had pops in that building then.
Oh yeah, dude.
And that was one of those pops.
I had nothing to do with the Falcons back then, but I remember just seeing that every time on TV. I was like, dude, this place is electric.
I mean, that was incredible night. Yeah. It's a good memory.
We're going to get to Life of Squid in just a second. Big announcement from Bo. He's got something that's headed back towards our everyday lives that I'm sure people will enjoy, even though his tease left a lot to be desired about that. But we'll get to that in just a second. We also got Trey Wallace coming up, National College Sports Reporter for OutKick. That'll be coming up at the 8:40 segment in just a few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. One of the cuts we haven't got to for Raheem Morris. And I'm curious to get Bo's input on this because this stood out to me. And obviously, there's been a lot of back and forth. And you, speaking of which, you don't hear anything from the Bill Belichick stands, we call them, I guess, right, Allie? Yeah. The Bill Belichick stands. They're like, yeah, y'all are dumb for hiring Raheem. Why didn't you hire Bill? Well, in hindsight, that's looking like a pretty good decision when you see what's going on at UNC. Raheem, a couple of days ago, was asked kind of a specific question about year two and the changes that he's making as a head coach.
The number one thing is being able to identify problems faster, right? So, like, when we can identify those problems faster and not waiting so long to fix them, I think that's something that I can do better personally. And I think that's something that we all can really do. But, like, when you're the head coach and you're overseeing all the different things, you got to be able to see those things a little bit faster to be able to make some of those corrections. We're able to fix a lot of things on offense quickly. We're able to fix a lot of things on defense. Didn't do it as quickly as you wanted to do them. You're able to fix a bunch of things across the board and how you wanted to do things. So, I think being able to identify problems really a bit quicker and to be able to put your imprint and stamp on them. Or if you don't have the answer, to be able to go find ways to go find those answers within the organization, within your building, outside the building, whatever it takes, to be able to go get those things done. So I'm always fired up for that learning curve of everything. That always interests me. That's something I always love. You definitely have a process, but it's definitely steadily growing and learning every time you go out there and do anything that you do within this game.
I'm curious to get your intake, your input on this, Bo, because when I heard the first part of this cut, and I'm sitting there going, okay, he's talking about timeouts, talking about in-game decisions, talking about, you know, changes defensively and think, you know, when to go. And then the more I listened to it, the deeper he got into his explanation. It was very easy to point to the fact that he wishes he would have taken over some of the things from Jimmy Lake early in the year defensively, you know, specifically how tight you're playing in coverage, you know, the blitzes you're running, different things that are happening on the back end. I went from he's talking about in-game decisions to at the end of that, I'm like, okay, he's talking about game planning decisions, things like that. Could be all-encompassing, but I'm curious your takeaway from that.
I think it is all-encompassing. I think it is everything in one. And look, the first one of the hardest things in the world, and I don't care who you can talk to people all you want, and people can tell you one thing. One of the hardest things in the world is for someone to actually look in the mirror and say, "Hey, what am I doing here? What am I doing there? What's not working?" And change. It's hard because a lot of times we are all such creatures of habit that we. You just can't say, I'm going to do this differently and all of a sudden start doing it. It just doesn't work that way. And I know that. Trust me. I get told all the time, you need to be better at this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. but you give him credit there, but it's absolutely some of the stuff. I think it's some of it to do with reassessing, did he do this right in-game strategy? Did they call the timeout right here? How would you handle at end of the half scenarios or, you know, in the first half and the second half? Or what situations would you take the ball or defer to the second half if you win a coin toss? Like, those are things. And then there's also, to me, you're absolutely right too about the Jimmy Lake stuff. He way hung on too long. He waited to the bye. And see, this is where, and I look at it, the schedule this year is where they can't afford to do what they did last year.
I agree.
Last year they had a late schedule, so even waiting till the end to take over from to the bye to take over Jimmy Lake, it was in reality too late.
Yeah, and also you're in week five bye this year. Like how many changes are you gonna make in week five?
Well, and that's the other thing. You can't be too trigger happy,
right?
Because you're gonna make changes too quickly. And yeah, you can make changes too quickly. So it's funny because I think some of the things that we think that they did wrong aren't the things that they think they did wrong.
Yeah.
Like the Kirk Cousins thing. I personally don't think that they moved on from Kirk Cousins too quickly.
No, they didn't.
Or too slowly. I think they did it right about the right about right.
You got to the end of that Vegas game, you're like, all right, they have to do it now.
He had a bad game against the Chargers. He had a better game against the Vikings, and yeah, wanted the fact that I thought you didn't necessarily lose it because of him.
Right, and you
lost
Vegas
it because of that turnover.
You thought Vegas would be a get-right game for him.
And when you realize he was broke then, and I still – I'm going to need a medical report of how that he was actually physically hurt in that Vegas game because I don't think he was. Yeah. Mentally, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But physically, he wasn't. You can go to the WSauce.com and use the promo code, Allie?
Squid.
How do you spell that?
S-Q-U. I was like, wait, is this a trick question?
No, I just thought you could spell squid easily. But, you know, I'm glad you didn't add or delete any letters like I did when I say it. For 15% off your order today, including the everyday hot sauce and also anything in those new 5-ounce little bitty bottles. And my friends at New Realm Brewing. Tomorrow morning, it returns. What is it? Well, probably the greatest thing I ever created in radio, other than the show, which I wasn't a full creator of. The Tailgate at Home is back.
Wow.
Yay.
And we're doing it in the mornings now, the morning shift edition. Now, let me tell you something. You can still tailgate at home in the afternoon if you want, whatever your schedule dictates. Just send me the pictures of your meat on the Insta.
Pause.
And on Twitter or all socials, right, Allie?
All socials.
Tag it. You know, let's just tag it. And I'll start the hashtag tomorrow morning because tomorrow morning I'm going to be at home doing the show. And I've got a little something planned. I'll tell you about it first thing in the morning. It is going to be a quick cook for me tomorrow.
Wait. We don't even get to sample the fare. Like Allie and I don't even get to.
My meat on Instagram. Mike, are you asking me if you can taste my meat?
No, I said fare on purpose.
You can come over, and I'm gonna have. What I'm doing is on a huge piece of meat. But there's going to be enough to go around.
Sure.
So
when people taste my meat, they don't stop talking about it.
Is a vegetarian.
Seconds.
They do. And it never needs sauce, Dylan. But anyways, Tailgate at Home is back, okay? I want to see it. You can do your breakfast version. You can do a regular version. You can tweet or Insta or whatever form of social Allie approves of all weekend. But 92.9 The Game, so 92 hashtag 92.9 Tailgate at Home is back. Cannot wait.
Play the clap track, Dylan. Attaboy.
Yay!
We're excited.
Yes. Yeah.
Tailgate at home.
I'm so excited. We did this during the pandemic. It was a great feature. We did it on Dukes and Bell then. Yeah. They're more than welcome to join in. All you are more than welcome to join in. But Tailgate at Home is making its comeback.
I have been promised I will have a spot in the rotation on this as well. So shotgun on doing the brisket the overnight because that's happening. You know,
dude,
what I mean?
you can do your brisket. You can do a whole though if you're going to do one. You can do a whole brisket.
Yeah, probably so. We're going to do it overnight, no doubt about it.
I will probably be tapping in someone who will cook meat on my behalf.
Hi,
when
Grant.
When it comes to be my turn,
it's a collective effort.
Yeah,
it's a collective effort. You know. Anyways, hopefully he doesn't call us idiots.
Yeah. Hi, Grant.
Only when it's warranted.
He's an idiot.
Wait, did Grant just call himself an idiot? The guy that you're tapping in? That is not Grant.
We got to go to break.
You're better than that.
Because when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about SEC football and college football in general. That's because Trey Wallace, national college sports reporter for OutKick, is going to join us. I've known Trey for a long time, and boy, the shoe is on the other foot when it comes to this one, man. So this ought to be a fun interview. Stick with us.
Will he take a Bubba question or two?
I'm sure he will. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Radio 929 again. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, Dylon playing the, who's this, Jet? You remember the, yeah, this is Jet. Remember the iPod commercial with Jet? It was one of the earlier ones, man. I used to love it.
Never anyways. Goes well for you when you do the music stuff.
Why?
Because you don't. Because you're not always on it. You're kind of off.
This is Jet.
It is Jet, but okay, this isn't. Like, this song didn't get famous for because of an iPod commercial.
No, I'm saying. I said, did you? Anyways, I'm not even going to go down this road with this
guy.
Say
iPod or Tide Pod?
iPod.
Tide Pod. I heard Tide Pod, and I was like, that's a random poll.
A Tide Pod is what the kids were eating.
I know.
Now they got like the safety locks on them to get them in stores.
Anyways.
Did you eat paint chips as a kid?
It is. It's going to give me great pleasure to do this because, to quote Michael Scott, my how the turntables, I'm going to welcome in national college sports reporter for OutKick, Mr. Trey Wallace. Trey, I think the first time I ever talked to you, man, was, what was it? What was the name of the station in Mobile that you were on for a little bit? That was like back in 2012,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, gosh. WNSP.
There it is.
Mobile.
Yeah, man.
We go back. So, yes, this is directly the scene as Michael Scott is walking in, yeah. And there's Dunder Mifflin bosses looking at him like, wait, what's going on here? Okay.
appreciate you hanging out with us. I do have to tell you, before we get into some of the college football stuff, I was at the Coke 600 last weekend, man. So I know you're a NASCAR guy, and Bubba, you know, your cousin obviously has had great amount of success in that. But I've followed Bubba since having that conversation with you some 12, 13 years ago, man. So that's been a lot of fun.
Man, They gave him such a crap car last weekend to work with. All he was doing was riding around.
Yeah, what's Denny doing? Come on, Denny. Let's go get that man a car.
I was going to say, tell it to MJ, Trey. Yeah. You know, Trey, what's funny is the best part is when our Dylan, our producer you talked to, said, hey, we got Trey Wallace coming up. I said, Bubba's cousin, and he goes, no, I don't think so. And I go, no, it's Bubba's cousin. He goes, I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. I'm like, no, they're cousins. Trust me, because Mike and I are both big NASCAR fans. Guys, so
man. We're going down live to
Atlanta. Oh, dude, he sent me. I was so mad at him this morning. He sent us some dumb picture in a group text at like 5:30 this morning. I was like, boy, you got to be kidding me. Don't be doing that stuff this early, man. And whatever. It was a picture of the baby, but I could see Bex any time. I don't need to see him at 5:30 in the morning. So I just told him to go over there and get his crew chief up his rear end and get him a better car for this weekend. So, yeah, it is what it is.
We'll see him at Atlanta Motor Speedway here in a few weeks. I do want to talk, and you're down in Destin, Trey, and obviously, man, you do as good a job as anybody having your pulse on some of the goings-on in the SEC. We talked all day about, you know, some of the whispers about the 9-game conference schedule and the thought of the Big Ten-SEC crossover. Where are we at on the 9-game conference schedule? Is this something that you feel like has momentum and should, you know, get done in the near future, or are we still kind of in a holding pattern there?
Yeah, look, I think this gets done. It feels like we've been talking about a 9-game conference schedule for 5 years now, every time we come down to Destin for these spring meetings. But, yeah, no, I do think we're close. And to be honest with you, I in talking with some folks behind the scenes that were in these meetings, I think they pretty much got a handshake agreement in place here. You know, it's not going to be formally written out. It's not going to be discussed in a press conference by Greg Sankey, but once the CFP part gets figured out with the format, that's when I think the SEC will announce a 9-game schedule. Now, if, you know, it really comes down to, okay, how many automatic qualifiers and whatnot do you get in the CFP? And I know we'll talk about that, but I think at the end of the day, I do think that they end up moving from 8 to 9, but the kicker is, you know, what does it look like? You're going to eat yourself up in the league and add that additional game and then not have it pay off, you know, with an automatic qualifier, an additional automatic qualifier for the college football playoff. I think that's the big kicker that the athletic directors and presidents want to know. And I think they've got that part figured out. They've been talking about this long enough. But the biggest thing to me is Greg Sankey threw out a deadline for the CFP, and he said December 1st. Well, guys, that's going to get done before December 1st. And they have a massive meeting on June 18th where they will all get together. So long story short is, I think they're ready to go to nine games. I think it would help. I think if you look at the Big Ten and how that part plays out with them, and also don't forget too, one of the driving factors in a lot of this is revenue. And if you can go back to the table and get, let's just say, an extra $6-7 million per team from ESPN and Disney, they're not going to turn down the cash. And at the end of the day, also, I do think it will help them. And I don't think it'll be I don't think it'll go against them. You know, if you're adding a Georgia versus LSU, like every 2 years or whatnot, home and home, I don't think that hurts in the playoff if it's a close game, especially if we get some kind of a format with a number of automatic bids, maybe not just like three or four.
Well, Trey, that's why I'm confused. If they know they're going to nine games, then why are the coaches pushing so hard for this Big Ten, the inner scheduling where they play each other? Because some of these teams that are go up for playoff games are going to be adding another tough game. I mean, you look at what Florida plays this year and what they played last year. They might be playing. Yeah. I mean, they could. There's not a team on that schedule that they can't lose to.
Well, that's why I think that you had some coaches talking about it, and some coaches were like, wait a minute. Shane Beamer, my man said it perfectly. It's like, wait a minute. We play Clemson every year at the end of the season. So you want to tell me, you know, there could be a year where I got to go to Ann Arbor, you know, or Michigan comes to us? Like, hold up now. Like, I think that's pushing it. So I asked Sam Pittman for clarity yesterday. After Brian Kelly made his comments, and Sam Pittman kind of said it this way. He goes, if it would kind of be counted towards the nine game conference schedule. And I know that sounds a little bit complicated, so I asked Sam Pittman to go further in on it. And he said, look, if we agree to go to nine games in the SEC, well, if we do an SEC Big Ten quote unquote invitational is what I call it because of the basketball reference, that would actually go towards that nine. So maybe you're not playing an extra SEC team, but you're playing potentially a Big Ten school in that. So maybe that's where, you know, you get somewhere. I don't think, I talked to a number of ADs yesterday before they got on their private jets and got out of town as quick as possible. And they said, look, this thing, don't hold your breath. Like it's got a couple of years for that to even get figured out. And I agree because you got to figure out what you're going to do with the conference and you got to figure out what you're going to do with the CFP. But don't forget, man, there's a number of teams you'd have to buy out because if you're looking at the schedule right now, everybody's got their schedules pretty much laid out for the next 6, 7, 8 years. So how that part, who's going to pay for the buyouts? You know, we just saw something with Tennessee and Nebraska. You know, where Nebraska wanted out and whatnot, Nebraska had to pay a fee, then Tennessee figured out who they were going to play, whatever. What I'm getting at is that right now we're trying to figure out what the next 2 years looks like. Well, this SEC Big Ten thing, I mean, it would happen for like 5, 6, 7 years. So I think a lot of coaches, that was just one of the things that was brought up. And I think when Brian Kelly was asked that, again, that was like one of probably seven topics that were discussed in the room. And obviously that's going to click and that's going to hit. And it's something interesting to talk about. But I do think that that's kind of down the road a bit. So I'm just saying, SEC fans, Big Ten fans, hold your horses. Don't expect some invitational in 2027.
Well, Trey,
you're already getting it, by the way, too. Like, kind of. I mean, you're getting Texas and Ohio State. What do we have? Yes, last year we had the Longhorns and Michigan, like whatever. I'm just using examples, but you're kind of already getting that. So, I mean, if you want to see Vanderbilt and Purdue play every year, have at it. So.
Trey,
no offense, because I love Diago, but I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, you're good. I saw you tweeted about the potential for SEC overseas games, and Greg Sankey basically said, no, at this point, it seems like it could be too challenging financially. But other conferences, they figured it out. So what could be the benefits of a game abroad if they did try to figure this out one day?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a big – like, I think it would be something because if ESPN or somebody wanted it within the next, like, 3, 4 years, that's where the challenge is. But I think it would be fascinating. And talking with some folks, there's a reason why that was brought up. and we're talking about with the media to Greg Sankey. It's because it's something behind the doors that have been discussed. Mm. And I think that when you look at, and I'm not saying it went deep in the discussions, but I am saying ESPN has come to the SEC and been like, hey, you know, we do this, you know, once a year, maybe twice a year, whatever. Would you like to get involved? And I don't think it's that big a deal when it comes to putting it together, because guys, I mean, we see what Georgia Tech and Florida State go to Dublin. Well, you know, we had what, 3 years notice on that. I mean, it's something the SEC could do. But you know, would you expect Georgia and Tennessee or Georgia and Alabama to take a home game away from their schedule to go overseas? Okay, maybe once, but that's it, you know? And so I don't know if this is going to become some, it will become some yearly rotation where you play an SEC game over there, but I could see something where you start seeing an SEC team maybe play somebody else overseas. Now that's where it could get interesting. And I've been told something that the Four Letter Network and Disney and all that stuff has presented to the SEC, because they did do a big presentation, ESPN did, while we were down here. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like off the table, but I think Greg Sankey was more talking about, look, taking SEC Network on the road, you know, logistically getting these teams over there and whatnot, having like an NSEC type game where you got two of those competitors over there. I think that's the long stretch, but it would not surprise me one bit if there's an SEC team playing overseas in the next 5-6 years. I'll just leave it at that.
Finishing up with Trey Wallace, college sports reporter for Outkick. Trey, we got about 30 seconds left. Yeah. Kirby Smart brought it up the other day. He was like, you know, we can talk about everything, NIL, you know, the house settlement, whatever, the transfer portal. Is there any power for the SEC to actually be able to make changes in the transfer portal, and when can we expect something like that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with Kirby Smart. I think it's a massive problem right now, and I think it also ties into the revenue part that's about to start happening come July 1st. I think that at the current moment, in talking with some officials, it's not much the SEC can do. They can complain all they want about it, but until this house settlement is reached, and then you get this new College Sports Commission, which is pretty much going to be the enforcement arm from the house settlement. The NCAA is losing some power when it comes to academics and eligibility, so they would have to be the ones to make the change to the transfer portal. It wouldn't just be like the rules committee from the NCAA anymore. I think within the next 2 years, you're going to see something with the transfer portal moves. I think they're going to either agree to put this bad boy for 10 days, you know, sometime in the middle of January, and take away the April period. And if they don't decide to do that and keep it where they are, you're going to keep the same two portal periods open, because you don't want one at the end of April where you're just completely screwed going into the summer. So I don't disagree with Kirby Smart. I think it's a massive problem. These guys don't have their roster set. You got people leaving. And then also at the same time, as we saw twice this spring, Nico took a bunch of money and then left Tennessee, went to UCLA. Madden, his brother, turned around and took about $210,000 from Arkansas over a span of 3.5 months and went back to LA. So you got to figure out a way to stop this type of stuff, and especially with revenue sharing coming up. How do you put an end to that? Well, you got to start collective bargaining. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But at the end of the day, yes, we will see a different transfer portal, in my opinion, the next 2 to 3 years. We'll just see if Kirby Smart gets his way.
That's Trey Wallace from Outkick. Trey, we appreciate it, man. Good to catch up with you. Enjoy Destin.
My man, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all of you guys. Look forward to seeing you at the next NASCAR race.
That's Trey Wallace from Outkick, man. Good stuff. And obviously the latest going on down in Destin, some good info there with him.
We need to get Trey to come hang out with us in June.
I'm sure he will, dude.
People. Just come on over. Like, we can just talk college football for like an hour with him at the hauler or the trailer that we're at. And maybe he can get us over into, you know, the 2311. Yeah, maybe no talk to MJ and stuff.
Maybe MJ's over there. Yeah, no big deal. That's going to do it for us here on the Morning Shift. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow to do a Friday edition of the Morning Shift. Until then, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.